Appreciate very much the presence of each one here this morning. It's kind of a nice day, cloudy and a little cooler, and a little mist outside. It's refreshing. After all the dry weather that we've had, it's a blessing that we receive from God. So let's not forget to thank and praise Him for it. This morning, I want to talk about a thought that I guess our society brings us to look at, and that is the idea that we are victims, that we are products of the environment, that we basically have no control over what we are and what our destiny will be because we are products of the environment. You know, I don't believe in that. We talk about people who are disadvantaged, people who can't amount to anything in life because they didn't have any education or because they came from the wrong side of the tracks or because of what kind of people their parents were or something of this nature. I don't subscribe to that. Do you? I believe that we have the choice to make of our lives and of ourselves what we choose to make. And I believe we all have that choice. And if we didn't have much education, and if we came from a poor family, or we came from the wrong side of the tracks, I believe that we can overcome that. Just forget about that and go about to do what you think that God would have you to do, and He'll give you the ability to do it. And this carries over into the spiritual realm, too. Some people believe in foreordination or predestination to the extent that if you're among the chosen few, then you're in good shape. But if you're not among the chosen few, then you might as well forget it. But when I read the Bible tells me that God has put my destiny in my hands. You know, there are some things that we can't do too much to overcome. There are some maybe handicaps that people have that they have to live with. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to a great extent, we can overcome those handicaps and we can be what we decide and determine that we are going to be with the help of God. So I believe that as we open the Bible and read from it, that the message that God is giving us is four little words. It's up to you. What you are and what your lot in life will be, and especially your lot in eternity, is up to you. In the very beginning, God told the first couple, Adam and Eve, it's up to you. It's up to you whether you live and prosper and be happy or whether you be sad and have troubles and hardships and die. It's up to you. It's up to the choice that you make. He told them, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:16-17. So God told man in the very beginning that his destiny was entirely up to him. And it was not simply a matter of what would happen to man, but it was a matter of what man would choose. It depended upon what man did. But then we see God telling the man the same thing again only two chapters later. He told Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, you remember the story there of the offering of the sacrifices and so forth. We'll not get into that. But in verse 7, God told Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So again, he said, it's up to you. Of course, he didn't choose to do well. He chose to go out and to kill his brother. But it was up to him. And of course, he had troubles after that. And his comment was, my punishment is more than I can bear. But guess what? He brought it upon himself, didn't he? It was the result of what he chose. God said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not well, then sin lies at the door. You know, that same truth is applicable to all of us today. If we choose to do well, We can have blessing, and we can have salvation, and we can have peace. But if we choose to do wrong, we'll have to suffer the consequences. You know, Cain had brought the sacrifice of the fruit of the ground to offer in worship to God. Abel brought the first into the flock, the fat thereof. So it depended even to begin with on what they did. But then even after that, God did not accept one of the sacrifices. Then God says it still depends upon what you do. In other words, you have a chance to make it right. So if the first time we don't get it right, many times God gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and so on to make it right. But if we keep making the wrong choices, then we got to suffer the consequences. Remember over in the book of Revelation, God told the modern day Jezebel, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. God gives us a choice. God gives us a chance. And therefore, we are not simply the victims of the environment. And then, in the book of Genesis, let's see. God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 39 and 40. God told the children of Israel the same thing. It's up to you. Your lot in life depends upon the choices that you make. He said, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may be well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. And so God, in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, told the people, it's up to you. Your destiny depends upon the choice you make and upon what you do. He said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Verses 26, 27, 28 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. And you know, that choice is still ours today. We can do wrong and sin and sow to the flesh. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit, or to the spirit, shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. God says it's still up to you. Somebody might say, well, that was way back in the Old Testament time. That's true. But Galatians 6, 7, 8 in the New Testament. And it's the same choice today. Then again, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it's reiterated, it's up to you. Your destiny depends upon what you choose to do. The Lord said, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to go to possess it. And then he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. So how could God have more clearly said, it's up to you. Your outcome, not only in this life, but also in the life to come, depends upon the choices that you make. That's why the Lord said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, or you shall find rest in your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden light. But he said, come unto me. I'm inviting you to come. I'm not going to force you to come. I'm not going to go out and lasso you and drag you in. The choice is yours. It's up to you. That was true in the Old Testament time. It's still true today. And thus the Lord repeatedly says, it's up to you. Your destiny, your future, what becomes of you is dependent upon the choice you make and upon what you do. And I want to impress upon you, brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, that it's more than just a choice or a preference. It's more than simply deciding which one would rather have and asking for it. You know, God didn't tell them, these people, that I'm setting before you life and death and blessing and cursing. You just tell me which one you want. Nuh-uh. Doesn't work like that. But God said, you've got to choose by the choices you make, by what you do in life, by the kind of life that you live. And I know that we'd all say, if given the choice, where do you want to go when you die? We want to go to heaven. But you see, it's not just a matter of saying that we want to go there. It's a matter of making preparation. So you make your choice not simply by what you say you'd prefer to be, but by the life you live, by the decisions that you make in life. You choose life by choosing the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by cleaving unto Him. You choose death by turning away from God, turning to sin and the ways of the world. And so from the very beginning, God told man, it's up to you. Your destiny is up to you. It's in your hands. I know God is sovereign. I'm not arguing with that. I know that He's in control. I'm not arguing with that. I know that He's the ruler of the universe. I'm not arguing with that. But God said, I'm giving you the choice. I'm going to let you decide what your destiny will be. So it's not violating the sovereignty of God to tell me that I have a choice, because God gave me that choice. But God not only told man in the beginning, He continues to tell all men the same thing. It's up to you. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, He said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, or with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So here He says, I have spoken it. I have declared this, that I'm giving you the ability to choose. I'm putting your destiny in your hands. If you be willing and obedient, you'll be blessed. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll not be blessed. It's up to you. So again, it depends upon what we do and the way that we choose to live. Being willing and obedient is more than just saying, I want the good stuff in my life. It's being willing to live a life that will enable God to bless us. And if we refuse and rebel, by the same token, it's the choice in life that we're making, and we'll have the fruit or the harvest that is predicated upon that choice. And so God is still telling us the very same thing today. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to this world and died for our redemption. And then He turns to us and He says, as it were, it's still up to you whether you'll be saved and what your eternal destiny will be. You know, if He hadn't come and made that sacrifice, we couldn't have chosen, because we would be doomed. Whatever we did, we'd be lost. But because Jesus came and He made that sacrifice for our sins, He gives us the ability to choose life. In Matthew 1:21, it was said concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus, thou shalt bring forth, or she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He shall save His people from their sin. You mean He's not going to save everybody? Well, is everybody His people? Then the Bible says it's up to you whether you'll be His lamb or His sheep or not. It's up to each one of us whether we'll be among the chief shepherd's sheep. It's determined as to whether we will accept Him as being our shepherd. You know, a lot of people don't want Jesus telling them what to do. And especially they don't want Jesus telling them what to not do. Just heard a preacher on the radio, Brother Ron Fisher, this morning talking about humanism. And they say that Christianity is harmful because it tries to hold a threat over people. Make them think if they do certain things that bad things will come on them and so forth. That's not the way it is. We can have a blessing by doing the right thing, by making the right choice. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Then He went on to say, "But ye believe not because you're not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." So the Lord says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm there for you. But it's up to you as to whether you'll hear My voice and follow Me or not. It's up to you as to whether you'll let Me be your shepherd or not. I'm not going to corral you in and make you be My sheep against your will. But I'm there for you. If you want Me, I'm there for you." So the choice is in our hands. It depends upon whether you'll accept Him as your shepherd by hearing His voice and by following Him. You know, Jesus says that He came all the way from heaven to earth, to the cross and to the tomb, and then was raised the third day that He might be our Savior. But then He tells us that it's up to us as to whether or not we'll receive that salvation. In Matthew 11:28-30, as we referenced earlier, Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Jesus is there. He'll take us in if we come to Him, but He's not going to make us do it. He's not going to force His salvation upon us. It's up to us to come, to take His yoke, to learn of Him, to choose to be His disciple. Matthew 23:37, Jesus pointed out that Jerusalem was lost, not because it was inevitable, but because they made the choice to be lost. They would not come to Him that they might be saved. It was up to them to accept or to reject Jesus as their Savior, and they chose to reject Him. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." I want you to underscore that last three words there. Ye would not. I would. I was willing. I was standing there for you. You could come to Me and have life, but ye would not. It's in our hands, isn't it? It's up to us. In John 12:48, Jesus says, in effect, it's up to you whether you'll accept Me and My word and be saved or not. He said, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In Matthew 7:21, He says again, it's up to you, in essence, whether or not you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." So it's the same with us today, as it's always been in man's relationship with God. God told Adam and Eve it was up to them. Their destiny was in their own hands. They could obey and live and be happy, or they could eat of the forbidden fruit and suffer the consequences. He told the children of Israel, He was setting before them life and death, blessing and cursing. He told them to choose life, that they might live by loving the Lord their God, by walking in His ways and keeping His commandments. And now He tells us today, it's up to you whether you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven or not, and what your destiny will be. If you will enter into the kingdom, then you must do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In this same chapter, Jesus points out that it's up to us whether we'll be wise builders or foolish builders. We're all builders. It's not up to us as to whether we'll be builders or not, because in living a life, we are building a life. We're building. But Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And he says, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. It fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 7:22-27. So whether or not the house of our lives stands firm and weathers the storms of time and endures for eternity, or whether or not it falls, it's up to us upon the choices that we make. In Romans 5:8, the Word of God tells us, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Lord has always shown us His love. But then the Lord tells us it's up to you to continue and to abide in my love. It's up to you whether you'll reject Christ's love or accept it. And we make the choice by our response to Christ and His command. John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He doesn't tell us we have to. But He invites us to. He welcomes us to. But the choice is in our hands. Then in the next verse, He tells us how we do it. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So Jesus says, as it were, I loved you first. And I proved my love by the sacrifice I made for you. And now it's up to you to abide in my love. And we make that choice when we determine that we'll be obedient to Christ and we'll live for Him and let Him be our Lord and our Master. In First John 5:3, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Then in the same 15th chapter of John, Jesus points out that it's up to us whether we'll be His friends or not. Verses 13 and 14, He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, Paul says that the Lord will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord tells us then that it's up to us whether we know Him or not. In 1 John 2, He says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, the truth is not in him. But it says, you're using awful strong language there, aren't you? No, it's not mine. It's what the Bible says. You can open up, read it. 1 John 2:3-5. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in Him. So here again, God says, it's in your hands. You have the choice. You make the decision. You're not simply a victim of the circumstances, but the choice is yours. In John 8:51, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." The choice is mine and yours, whether you'll keep his sayings or not. Hebrews 5:9, he says, "Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." But you have the choice as to whether you'll obey him or not. You have the choice right there in your hands of whether you'll go to heaven when you die or go to that other place that nobody really wants to go to. It's entirely up to us whose servants we'll be. Paul says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He went on to say, "God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So it's up to you, he says. You can be servants of God or you can be servants of the devil. And you don't choose by simply saying, "This is the one I want to be a servant of." You choose by the way you live. By who you yield your bodies and your members as instruments to serve. So it's up to us whether our souls will be purified. Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." 1 Peter 1:22. In fact, the Lord says it's up to you whether you'll enter heaven or not. In Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Somebody might say, "Well, you know, I hope when I get those pearly gates, the Lord will let me in." Well, it depends upon what you do in this life and whether He lets you in or not. The choice is in your hands. So the Lord is telling us that our eternal destiny is up to us. It's up to us to believe that we may be saved. John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." But Jesus said in John 8:24, "If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins." It's up to us. The Lord tells us that it's up to us whether we'll perish or not. Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." But we can repent and avoid that. It's in our hands. Choice is ours. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know, it's up to us as to whether God will or Jesus will confess us before God or not. Somebody said, "I hope on that judgment day that Jesus will own me before the Father." Well, it's up to you. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So the Lord says, it's in your hands. It's up to you. He says it's up to us whether we'll be saved from our sins or not. In Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's in your hands. You have a choice. In Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But He's not going to make us do it. He's going to invite us to. It's in our hands. It's up to us. It was up to Saul as he was asked in Acts 22:16, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He wasn't forced to do it, but he wanted to do it. To have his sins washed away. It's up to us whether we'll be found in Christ when He comes again or not. Romans 6:3, Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" In Galatians 3:26-7, he says, "You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How many of them were? Well, as many as wanted to be. As many as chose to be. It was their choice. And then the Lord tells us it's up to us what our outcome will be at the day of judgment. As Christians, we're told, as we studied in our Bible class this morning, that we'll be presented unblameable, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:22-3. Now, if is in our hand. We'll be presented holy before God if we continue faith. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Matthew 10:22, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's up to us. It's in our hands. Our outcome at the judgment depends upon the kind of life that we lived in this world. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Paul says, God will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2:6. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil, or good or bad. Choice is yours. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. In other words, we'll get medicine out of our own spoon. It's up to us. James said, he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. It's up to us. If we're lost, we can't blame the Lord. For he says it's up to us. He sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and he tells us which one to choose. He says, choose life that you may live. But he's not going to force it on us. He made a way for us to be saved, to have our sins forgiven. But now it's up to us. Anyone here today that needs to receive that salvation, it's up to you. I can't do it for you. We're not going to go out here and handcuff you and drag you up the aisle. It's up to you. There's one here today that wants to become a Christian, it's up to you. If as a Christian you've wandered away and there's something amiss in your life and you need to come back, it's up to you. We're here to help you and assist you in any way that we can. The Lord is there for you, but it's up to you. If you're subject, we encourage you to come while we stand, while we sing.